And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to 42nd Street to Comm Ave.
This week, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things, but we're going to start off with talking about the national tour of Once.
So Once the musical won the Tony back in 2012 for Best Musical, and it is based off of the hit and Oscar-winning film Once, which won an Oscar back in the late 2000s for the song Falling Slowly.
And what's cool about this production is, although it's closed on Broadway, and it has been for, I think,
about a year,
this is the second time the tour has come to Boston in the past year. So it was here in around this time in 2014, and it's coming back again for a short run. And what's interesting about this run is that on December 9th, the staff at Once is trying to get a group of 100 guitarists together who have, like, made a connection with someone through music.
Or just have, like, a, you know, a special place, like, for music in their heart.
Right.
And they want them to all get together and perform Falling Slowly.
Which is amazing, and it would be the first time that this big gathering of guitarists ever played Falling Slowly in the United States. So it's kind of, they're kind of billing it as a once in a lifetime opportunity. And everyone who participates gets to see the show, which is really, really cool.
And Once has a very heavy focus on music and on instruments. I mean, yes, it is a musical, but it's about, like, it's a love story told through, you know, instruments and told through song. I mean, people in the show are very aware of instruments. It's not like they just start singing.
Yeah.
Guy and girl both, you know, play an instrument. Guy plays the guitar and girl plays the piano. And so each actor in the show knows how to play their specific instrument.
Right. And during, is it during Falling Slowly that they all play string instruments and dance? Yeah, it's a really, really powerful moment. And the show's always been big on audience interaction. When it was on Broadway, I'm not sure if they do this in the tour. I mean, I'm assuming they do. But when it was on Broadway, one of the big things that they did before the show was that they had an open bar on the stage so that anyone who got there early could go onto the stage, hang out with the cast, hang out with the musicians.
Yeah, the cast and the musicians, they would, like, tune their instruments and just be in full character on stage before the show, because, I mean, it's a bar in Ireland. Like, that's, you know, where the show is set. And so everyone there, you know, was kind of enjoying themselves and, you know, playing music. And so people can go up and get their drinks and just interact with people. And I remember there was one interview with Steve Kazee, who played Guy in the original Broadway cast. He was, you know, just tuning his guitar. And this woman went up to him who, like, knew him from childhood and, you know, started, like, saying things, and he stayed completely in character, because you can interact with the audience, but you have to remain in character.
Right, and that's a huge part of just being on Broadway in general, and normally they don't allow that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of the time there's audience interaction, but you never blur the line
this much
between audience and actors, in the sense that, you know, after the show, the actors don't come out in their costumes and greet fans. They come through the stage door after they are all changed and out of character. So it's kind of bridging that dynamic.
And I've seen this as well in the revival of Hair back in 2009, because they would bring it for the last song for Let Love In. They would bring people out on stage.
It's a really cool thing that they've started doing, where they put seats on the stage, and they sell seats that are, you know, billed as on stage seats. And I guess it's not a new thing. They did it with Spring Awakening. They did it with the new revival of Godspell, and it's a just a really cool thing for people to get to do as far as the audience participation goes.
Because a lot of shows, you know, are really used that. Spelling Bee was really into audience participation as well, because it brings another life to the show.
Yeah, it's a whole new level of interest in things like that. So that's a really cool thing, and I'm interested to see how that plays out. And since it's the first time 100 guitarists are getting together to play that song in the United States, I guess it's pretty historic. It's kind of setting a record almost.
Yeah, I definitely hope that they document it. And I mean, probably once Instagram and, like, Twitter will.
Oh yeah,
will go crazy. They will.
Another thing that happened this week is that Hamilton made number 8 on the top 50, was it rap albums of the year?
No, albums.
Albums, just general albums.
So Rolling Stone magazine just came up with their top 50 albums that have come out in, like, you know, the past year, and Hamilton is number 8. It is in the top 10. It's, you know, ahead of so many other albums, and it's just, like, a little bit behind, like, Drake and Adele, but, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda and that creative team, they are number 8, which is absolutely incredible.
That's absolutely incredible. And the fact that they also are being told that they are one of the best rap albums of the year by Billboard, it's just crazy that they have bridged the gap so much between hip-hop, rap, and musical theater that they're hitting such a mainstream audience. It's like, I mean, it's crazy that they're number 8 on that list.
And it just is doing a really good job of, you know, as Katie just said, getting people to listen. I mean, I saw people looking at that article who, you know, aren't huge musical theater fans, but they see that Hamilton's up there and then they go listen to it after. And so it's kind of just gaining more, you know, viewership from there.
And of course it helps that Lin-Manuel Miranda, we found out this week, is writing the
Cantina song for the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, which is like just insane. He, you know, he's really in with Disney right now. That he has a long career ahead of him. And what's even more, I mean, it's not more historic, but another really amazing historic thing that's happening that we heard about this week is that for the first time ever, there will be an all-female creative team working on Broadway, and that's on Waitress, which we've talked about before. So they rearranged some of the creative team, and so now the book, music, and lyrics, music director, and choreographer are all women, which is unprecedented. It's never happened before.
It's, I mean, with Fun Home, you know, they were kind of getting there, and they were had a mostly female team, but now with Waitress, 100% female, which is really
exciting. Yeah, and a female lead and a female-centric show. And it's a crazy feminist kind of movement in a way. I mean, we talk all the time about how women aren't necessarily represented well in Hollywood, but even more so, sometimes women aren't represented in the theater.
Right, right.
And that's been a big issue this year, and we've seen a lot of activists coming out in support of female representation in the industry, especially not just on stage where females are well represented for the most part, but in directorial positions.
More of like a behind the scenes and producing.
Yeah, which is role. This is definitely going to set a precedent, and
it's changing the game.
Yeah, and if it makes history for nothing else, you know, like, I mean, it already has with Sarah Bareilles and all of those things, but the fact that this is happening for that show is history in itself. So even if the show does horribly, which I don't believe you're still going to know that this is the first time that's ever happened.
I think this year with Hamilton and with Waitress, it's just going to be a very like monumental year for Broadway and for the theater community.
Yeah. And on that note, something else monumental is happening tonight, which is
The Wiz Live.
Yeah, it's mounting on NBC tonight, and I'm really, really interested to see what's going to happen.
It's a really exciting cast, because if you guys remember, we did an episode earlier this semester about just, like, you know, live productions of shows, like, on TV, and The Wiz has a great cast. I mean, it's got a lot of well-known names. Common, Queen Latifah, Mary J. Blige, Amber Riley from Glee.
Uzo Aduba.
But then the lead, the girl playing Dorothy, is unknown.
Right. And the original Dorothy in The Wiz, Stephanie Mills, is playing Auntie M, which is really, really cool. And I guess we should also say that as we're recording this, it's happening tonight. But as soon as you guys are listening to this, it will have happened already. So we'll have know what happened by now, so that will be interesting.
So check our Twitter later tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely hoping to get some live tweeting in. That would be really cool. And it's going to be great to see what this sort of musical does in particular, because we've seen The Sound of Music and Peter Pan, which are traditionally, well, at least The Sound of Music is a traditionally white musical, and Peter Pan has some ethnic
characters.
Representation with the Native Americans in the show. But this is the first time something like this has ever happened.
I mean, it's The Wiz, which is
always a black cast. And, you know, I was reading a BuzzFeed article yesterday in which people were tweeting about how if they ever did an all-white production of something, it would be considered racist. But the fact that they're doing an all-black production of The Wiz is okay. So, like, the average person doesn't realize that The Wiz is always been a black production, and they think it's some sort of like cultural statement,
but they don't realize like that is the point of this show. And then if you wanted to really see like a more white version of The Wizard of Oz, you can either watch the movie or go see Wicked. So
yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy that, you know, I think a problem that we face in our society is that people speak a lot about what they don't really know. Mm-hmm. And I hope that by watching The Wiz and sort of reading more into it and understanding what the show is actually saying, that maybe people will change their minds. I know that might be a far-reaching hope, but
I think at least it will do a good job, like, with NBC, too, and just kind of getting this out there and start a trend for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this has been 42nd Street to Comm Ave, and this is our last episode of the semester.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys for listening, and we hope to speak with you again soon.